This is exactly right.
On the next season of Tenfold More Wicked, a longtime listener reaches out with a tragic family story that's been passed down through the centuries. It's about Rebecca Briggs Cornell, an English Puritan separatist fleeing religious persecution, only to be found burned to death in her own home. Was it an accident or was it murder? Season 11 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, this is Babs, you know, from the podcast Lady to Lady, the one you're about to listen to. Have you gotten tickets to our Zoom show this Sunday, October 4th yet? If you haven't, go grab them right now. The show is on Zoom, so you have no excuse to miss it. It's this Sunday, the 4th at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern. French Stewart will be there doing stand-up comedy. We've got Tess's sister, Marlena Barker. She's doing sword swallowing, very hard to say, and dancing. And our resident hunk, Ryan Nemeth, as always, will be there to do something hunky for you all. And we will have special guests, surprises, and it's just going to be a blast. We do lady problems. We hang out. We just have such a great time. It's a really cool opportunity for us to see you guys as well. And we're just really excited about it. So get your tickets right now. If you go to tinyurll2loct4, like L2L October 4th, you can get your tickets or just go to our Twitter or our Instagram. The links are there in our profiles. It's $10. And if you're a Patreon member, you can get a discount. So go to patreon.com to see what that discount is. We also have a VIP option where we have a after hangout lounge. I think we're going to be doing tarot card readings. That's going to be a blast too, if you want to do that. And we just can't wait to see you all. So go get your tickets right now. And please enjoy this fun episode with Khalees Hawkins. I'm Babs Gray, and I'm sick and tired of not partying so much that I get sick and tired.
I'm Brandi Posey, and I saw the best butts of my generation destroyed by fourth meal.
I'm Tess Barker, and it's unhealthy to have less than a dozen vices.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady. Ladies and
ladies. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hell yeah.
We're so excited to be here with you today. We have a hilarious guest. We're so excited to have her on. She's got her debut comedy album that just came out called Khalees Hawkins is 40 AF. She's been on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon and Russell Simmons Presents Live at the El Rey. Khalees Hawkins! Welcome to the show. The crowd goes crazy. Thank you for doing the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you for being patient with the scheduling, because holy crap, man, pandemic scheduling is wild.
I know.
Yeah, for sure. You got to really make sure you put a couple hours every day just to stare into the void on the calendar. It really it helps.
Yeah, it is interesting, because it's like, you know, for a minute it felt like nobody was doing anything, and now everything's getting back to like, okay, we have to like still attempt to accomplish these careers that we're trying to do, but working around this crazy shit is a lot. So we all did it. We're here.
Yeah.
We're talking over the series of tubes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The internet's working for us. Khalees, how stoked are you that you got to record something in front of an audience before audiences went extinct?
Oh my God. The timing was incredible, because I really wanted to get this album out, and I got so lucky. Mm-hmm. I got so lucky, because right afterwards, everything was shut down. I even have a friend who's like, you know, I got tested for COVID and I had it that night. And I'm like, ah!
Oh my gosh. You were really cutting it right to the edge. Woo! Yeah. Wow.
Like, thank you for sitting in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, and not laughing at any of my...
not drizzling into the air. Thank you.
Yeah.
Where did you record it at?
I recorded at the Brooklyn House of Comedy.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah, they have a great, like, they have a great room because the acoustics are really good and there's so much room to have it full. But if you have any kind of capacity going on, it's a full sound. Yeah. So that's why I wanted to be there. It was intimate.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. That's it's got to be such a good feeling to like, how long were you working on the material that you ended up putting on the album?
Oh my God, this material has been since the beginning of my career. Like I've never really developed a lot of new, I guess I have. I guess I've moved on from set to set to set, but you kind of get, you know how you kind of get your closing crutches and your opening crutches and then yeah. you just cycle through different material as totally. Your daughter gets older and then she does new funny things.
So that was just me, but through different boyfriends. So
yes. Yeah, exactly.
Different things that you're taking care of.
Yeah. So, but for the actual recording, I tried to work on it for a few months before, but you know, then you're in love with a set because an audience liked it that day. And then you're like, uh-oh, it didn't work again. And yeah. This has happened traditionally. Every time I've ever tried to change my set order for a new thing I'm taping, I'm like so excited about the new order. And then by the time the taping comes up, the new order I'm doing feels really clunky and weird. And like, it looks like the audience is like, what do you do? Do you do comedy? What are you doing? Like, cause I've tried, like, it's like, I've made this narrative. I've woven the story for them. Ooh, yeah. What have I got to tell you? It started.
Yeah.
It started in Springfield, Illinois. It's like they don't want to hear like a linear story. You got to tell the comedy the way the comedy comes out. So then by the day of the taping, the night before, I had a really great set and it was based off of my original set. Mm-hmm. And it was all my best jokes. So, you know, the 15 minutes, my hottest, newest 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm just doing that. And then I'm doing the rest afterwards. I can't risk starting an hour and them going, what's this about? So who cares? You know? So I just started with my strongest stuff. And I actually spent that whole day going over and over this brand new set list. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. I used my set list during the recording. I figured nobody would see it. It's an album.
I did that for mine.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to risk forgetting like a big thing.
No, I mean, it's your ability to memorize things doesn't make you any more or less funny.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. My memory is getting worse and worse.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
If listeners, I don't, you know, sometimes listeners might not know this about stand-up, but like it is a thing people say if you bring up your set list on stage, it's like unprofessional. And I get it for maybe a showcase thing for 10 minutes or something. But for an hour of recording especially, you want to make sure you don't fucking forget something.
Yeah.
And you know what made me comforted is finding out that they use like, if they record a special on TV, they use a prompter. They have...
Yeah.
They have maybe verbatim. Some of them use it verbatim, but some of them have like bullet points. And that would have been awesome for this.
I'm going to start doing that when I do stand up again, just in person. I'm hiring somebody to.
Yeah.
So I don't forget all my shit. Just have a prompter standing there.
Well, it's just this, you already have so many, like you're trying to be in the moment and actually let the joke play out in an organic way. You're trying to like vibe with the audience. Like adding that extra layer of like what comes next is just not necessary.
Yeah.
It's like ultimately what's more distracting, like you like glancing at a thing while they're laughing to see what the next thing is, or you taking a minute to be like, oh fuck, what was it gonna be next?
Yeah.
Like that's always gonna be way worse.
And honestly, I've never really had an opportunity to be to have like a 45 minutes an hour set consistently. I'm a New York Comedy Club like comic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I do 7 minutes here, 12 minutes there, 15 minutes there, but I don't know how to do an hour. So it was a lot. It was a lot of pressure. And then I had to do it twice. You know what I mean? Like you got to get that safety album recorded. And by the second time I was up there, I was just like, did I say this already? I was like, does this sound familiar? This is like deja vu.
Oh my God. I would totally do that. I recorded an album, but I only did once. I'm like, I would definitely be like, wait, you guys heard this joke already.
Yeah.
And is your daughter old enough? Does she come watch you do stand up?
She has, and she is old enough. I believe she is old enough now. I didn't do that until she was like 12. I took her to like a couple of shows recently. And yeah, I guess she's like, she can stomach it now. I remember when she was younger, she was like, you're mean. That's so mean. it wasn't jokes about her. She'd be like, why are you saying that about people? And I was like, oh my God. What are you gonna cancel me?
It happened to me. I was canceled by my own daughter.
Yeah. She's writing a secret Reddit blog.
Yeah, yeah. I doxed my mom. You live there too.
Yeah, we're both. We should both be terrified. Don't you know this is how I pay rent with these jokes? Come on.
I did find that like to be weird as living in a big city where you do just get sets that are 7 or 10 minutes and stuff, because building an hour is really tough. And I realized that I'm like, oh, I wonder what kind of comic I would be if I was used to doing long set. You know what I mean? If yeah. I was used to doing 45 minutes every night compared to these showcasings, it's just interesting to think about that, like how differently things may have formed.
I mean, it's just hard to develop like long. I think that's why you end up having just your closer or whatever, because like to do like develop a 6 minute joke when you have 8 minutes is like, all right, hi, how you guys doing? Anyway, you know, and you start immediately with the choreography. It's
exactly.
Like
exactly. And in an hour, nobody wants to hear 30-second jokes. They want to hear a long formed like concept that leads them on a journey. They want to hear you go somewhere with what you're talking about. But in the attention span is like, hurry up and say something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Same thing with like bars too. I think bars are really hard to do long, or like rowdy bar shows. Cause like,
you're just like tap dancing in the corner. Like, listen to anything I say for the love of God.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's how I ended up being so dirty, is just from doing those shows. Cause it was just like, listen to me, boobs, sex. Hi, over here.
Yeah. Pussy. Anyway, I have some thoughts about the economy.
Yeah. Bait and switch.
Exactly. I love
that. That's exciting, though. Do you feel like, so have you, you know, moved on from that material now? Or like, how do you feel about it?
See, that was the plan, you know? That was like, that was the challenge I was giving myself, was I'm going to put this all in one place. And I'm going to try to like march forward, and I'm not going to say any of those jokes again. And then everything shut down.
Yeah.
Like I would love to be at open mics right now, just bombing my butt off. You know, I would love to like be working on that new material.
Yes.
Because I started to feel like a fraud by doing the same. There's something about the repetitiveness of doing the same material, even though you're getting paid, and there's the pressure of getting paid for it too. It's like, you want to do your best jokes if you're getting paid, because you can't really, there's no wiggle room. I still have that PTSD from starting comedy. I'm almost 17 years in. And when you're the only woman on the lineup 17 years ago, if you bomb, they're like, it wasn't like, hey, so I guess you had a tough night. It was, how dare you do that on my stage? Mm-hmm. You're a girl. You shouldn't even be here. I gave you a shot. It was so harsh, so cruel. So
yeah, it's like, you're never getting booked again. They're never booking a woman again. You represent everyone.
I don't know how long you guys have been doing this, but they had to tell you. They had to tell you. I've had bookers that had to tell me, you're a dime a dozen. You're par for the course. I've heard all that hacky material before. It's like, just say I'm not ready, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All this extra stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You're being a little personal, considering there's 10 dudes in the corner that you could say the exact same thing to, but you hang out with them and they get booked all the time. So
And it's this condescension that would come with it too, that they needed to explain to you, as if you didn't arrive at this place by already doing sets other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I know how crowds work. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Well, I totally get that. Obviously, I mean, that's why we rely on old stuff, because you're like, I find this pressure to, you know, do this joke. And I mean, I have a fucking, you know, joke about a fog machine being under my bed that I've been doing for a decade. And now that we're in Zoom, I just bought a fog machine and I use it.
But whatever.
Now I just have added props to the old jokes.
I mean, I think, you know, here's the thing. Carrot Top won. We're all becoming prop comics, I think.
It's true.
I know.
I mean, how many hats have you changed into? Like, look at this hat. Look at this. I've always shown everybody how big this bear. Look at my bear.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like from your house. It's like, I don't know. I don't want to say the same old shit. Here's a knife. It's crazy.
We're all doing what we can, okay?
Yeah, exactly. And how's quarantine been for you? We were with your daughter.
I think being a very intensely antisocial, insecure, shy personality, the first leg of quarantine was such a relief. I didn't have to have an excuse not to come out. I didn't have to, you know, hide from anybody. It was just like, we're all inside. Okay. All right. Yeah. And then, you know, as it drags on, I know I can sit in my room and stare at four walls, but my kid is a different person than me. And now I'm seeing her being affected by not being able to be social. And I want to cry because it's so hard to watch a child lose all the control over their reality.
Yeah.
And so I think like through seeing her struggle with it, it has put me back into kind of I'm triggered back when I was young, and now I'm going through all of this like stress of the unknown. And because I think the way that I'm a mom is very empathetic, you know, it's empathy filled. It's how would I have liked my mom to act in this moment? How do I want you to feel about yourself? How would I have liked to feel about myself at your age? And when I see her, like there was like, she had this bet with herself, like, I'm not going out for the whole quarantine. And I was like, okay, cool. All right, cool. And then I realized she was afraid of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to like talk too much about her stuff because I've also learned that's a new boundary I got to give her. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, to just end it with, it's been hard for us.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. I mean,
as a unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because yeah. I mean, the kids stuff, like I was FaceTiming with my niece and she started kindergarten on fucking Zoom. Like her whole life, that's always going to be her memory of the first day of school. A goddamn laptop.
Yeah.
Like that really got to me. It was just like, shit, like we at least are adults and we've been through other bullshit. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's just gnarly to think about. Yeah, young people navigating this.
I saw my neighbor walking his child, and I don't even know if the kid is maybe he's preschool age. I don't know. But he had him in a backpack walking down the street and then walking back home. And I was like,
are you
just giving him, like, you know, ritual? Because they need that. They need ritual. Yeah. They need comfort. They need familiarity. Mm-hmm. But the good part is that now that she's back in school and she is, my kid's 13 and she sees people doing this online all the time. She sees YouTube videos and she watches reaction videos. So it's familiar to her. And now that she has to communicate with her friends this way, it's brightening her up. Like I can see her coming back. I can see her, you know, being herself again. I can see her, you know, happy to be with her friends again. So thank God for Zoom. Thank God that we have technology in this pandemic.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, and I think also like there, I could see this kind of transforming, obviously it's transforming the way that we currently work, but I think that if you're a kid who grew up with this kind of work situation, then you're going to be even more self-sufficient in your work life moving forward. Cause you learn how to like have boundaries at home and how to work from home and how to be focused on this when it's this time and that when it's that time, you know? Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. But man, I remember when I went to kindergarten, I had a really good first day, but I remember coming home and for some reason, I don't think I understood that school wasn't optional. And I remember coming home and being like, yeah, that was really fun, but I preferred being home. So I think I'll stay here tomorrow. Like I had to have it explained to me that that's just what I had to do every day for the next 18 years. And I was like, oh,
bummer.
I thought it was my choice whether or not this happened. Oh, I guess. And like, I loved school, but it was, I just remember the shock of being like, oh, I don't get to just not do that again. Wow.
That's so funny.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. I really feel for kids trying to go through this right now. And just like, I feel lucky that I'm past the phase of, you know, I mean, my opening joke was about partying stuff, but also I'm just glad I'm like in my 30s and like am more antisocial and just kind of like used to not wanting to go do shit that much as I used to now. So it really makes me crave it, but I'm not like, I am, you know, feel lucky that I don't have to like Irish Goodbye a bunch of parties anymore.
Yeah. That's my favorite, the Irish Goodbye. But
I love Irish Goodbye.
I'm so awkward, though, that I'll be in a group of people and I want to go and I'll go, Irish Goodbye.
I feel like that's perfect. You're calling it out, but you're still just like, it is what it is.
Yeah. I have to Irish Goodbye because I also have this weird social thing where, like, if one person sees me saying goodbye to them, then I have to say goodbye to everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And it feels uncomfortable. And you might get caught back up.
Oh, yeah. No, you just got to get the fuck out of there. And also, no one cares. But I do miss. But those are the friendships that I miss, though, too, because, like, my really tight homies, like, I'm still talking to, but, like, I'm kind of missing, like, the people that I would Irish goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The people who know, like, Tess is gone. She's home. Where'd Tess go? She must be home.
She left. I just, like, started getting really, as I get older, like, my threshold for, like, being in social situations goes from 100 to 0 very fast. Mm-hmm. So when I get to 0, I'm like, I'm out. Like, I can't finish it. No more conversations. Nothing will happen. I have to leave. Yeah. So it's just like,
I'm always so uncomfortable that I have little tactics. Like, one of them is I'll go in the bathroom and I'll just look in the mirror and I'll just go, okay, count down. How long does it take to pee? You just give yourself a little break. And then three, two, one, flush. Okay, get back out there. Let's see if it's better this time.
I feel like we've all done, the pee pep talk. If it's a real pee or a fake pee. Yeah.
Sometimes you need a breather. You need a peether.
Yeah.
That didn't really work. I think that's why I like dance parties, too, is because, like, you can socialize without talking.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just can't tell. I don't think I'm missing the Irish goodbye people. I just don't like the people I just didn't have anything to say to.
I'm even missing them. I am.
I can't wait to get planted on someday by somebody that I want to get away from. Who knew I would miss that?
Oh, God. I forgot about
that. Neighborly stuff like that. I'll walk around the neighborhood and I'll see somebody who is just a fixture in the neighborhood. And it's like, sorry. Sorry, I remember you used to be there before and now I'm out again. And there you are. There you are. Irish goodbye.
Well, I mean, that's the problem with Zooms. There is no Irish. You have to make a formal goodbye.
I know.
You can't just slam.
Oh, my God. And I know it's going to happen again this time, but my you'll be having so much fun with people who you barely talk to. Like, I barely talk to you guys, and I'm having so much fun. And at the end, the sign off is, oh, my God, thank you so much, Khalees. Thank you so much for being here. Oh, my God, this is amazing. And then press record. Okay, record's off. And he's like, I gotta go. Bye. And it's just like, that wasn't for me. That was for them.
Well, we're
performers, baby.
Yeah.
Scene.
Well, most of our episodes have generally been like really fun, and then the end will be like, but okay, we stopped recording. How are you really doing? What's going on? Here's the not entertaining part. How are you doing?
Yeah. Check in. Let's check in.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm definitely looking for a therapist. I'm actively looking for a therapist.
I'm seeing mine again on Zoom for the first time. It's pretty fun. She gets to see my house. She goes into her office, though, so I don't get to see what her house looks like yet, and it feels like the power balance is off. I would like to know what her home looks like.
Yeah.
She can see her
background.
She can
have a Zoom background of, like, a couch there and just be like, yeah, me too, bitch.
yeah, exactly.
The wall is up.
Yeah, what am I fighting? Everything. You know this, though. Waste my money. It's pretty good, though. I don't know.
We have to take a break. We'll be back. I couldn't do that in a smooth way.
I think you nailed Irish goodbye.
Irish goodbye.
Irish goodbye.
Hey, welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Khalees.
And we all just sat silently there for 5 minutes, saying nothing to each other. So now we're back on the show.
Podcast magic.
Yeah.
Did you, Khalees, did you ever have a MySpace page?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to love the ranking. I used to take it so seriously. I'm like, you're in my top eight, and you need to know that that require that, you know, that that means that you have to be in touch with me. I need to know like that we're here.
Oh, yeah. The top eight were like people you had on speed dial.
Yeah,
it was like, very political.
Like, are you interacting with me? Do I know you?
Yeah.
And you know what else I thought was so important is the song.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the song will tell them, like, if you come to my page, you know who the fuck I am by this song.
Yes. Do you remember what you had on yours?
Oh, always Counting Crows. Mr.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's your song? Me?
Yeah. I want to be a big star, and I don't know why, and I don't know how, and everybody love me. I won't ever be lonely. That's my whole anthem. I'm pathetic. I am so pathetic, you guys.
I love it. No, that's such a good walk-up song.
Just so I could do podcasts. I have nobody to talk to.
This is perfect. We're friends inside of your computer. We're your top three right now, currently.
Yeah.
So.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Zoom's definitely brought back the top eight in a big way.
So this is a quiz that's from MySpace. When you think of your MySpace, it might make your heart race. You should get a red face when
Khalees, what's your favorite candle scent?
Ooh, that's good. That's a good one. I like the breeze, like the linen breeze thing, like the linen. It's cotton.
Yeah.
It's like cotton linen.
Yeah,
it's
like clean.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite.
Those clean linen scent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's refreshing. Mm, nice summer scent. Mm-hmm. We're starting to get into the pumpkin candle season. Everything's got a lot of cinnamon in it. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like hot in LA, and I've got pumpkin candles. It makes no sense.
I know. I haven't started doing any holiday decorating because it just feels weird. But I was like, fuck it. I mean, it's assuming we're still going to be in quarantine near the holidays, which I think we will. I'm going to go hard. I'm going hard this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, have you seen the masks that are like Iron Man masks? And it's like,
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's awesome. Good idea, right?
Ooh. That's really good.
I'm going to do a couple of wardrobe changes on my face.
I love it.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Man, I just bought a cinnamon broom for the first time.
Oh, that's
love a cinnamon broom.
It smells delightful in here.
Yes.
Wait, my trailer park is actually going to have a house decorating contest this year since we're all stuck inside.
Oh, so, that's fun.
Yeah, so whoever has the best decorated, they said the fall harvest decorating contest. I was like, Halloween,
it's
bitch.
Halloween.
Shut up.
this apartment, that's a trailer?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My best friend in sixth grade lived in a really fancy trailer, and it's like they're grounded to the ground, right? There's like, they don't move, and they had like a duck pond, and I was like, oh my God, I love trailers.
I love them. Our trailer park, it's a blast. There's like 33 houses in it. It's like real small. We're all buddies with each other.
They're so beautiful. Yeah. They're so well made.
No, honestly, they really like I've had zero problems with my place. I fucking love it. We just had an earthquake last week and it just like moved a little bit. Nothing fell over. It's perfect.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. It was just rocking and rolling a little bit. But yeah, we're gonna kick everyone's ass in this house decorating contest. I'm pretty excited.
Well, I am excited to walk the dogs by your trailer park. Brandy and I are neighbors.
Yeah.
How heavy skeleton? I feel like it's going to be very skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I got a lot of skeletons inside and outside of the closets. So.
Hello.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun. Me and Anna have already started talking. We're going to have like a Dia de los Muertos theme outside. It's going to be
love
good.
It.
We're going to have like an ofrenda like underneath of our TV, which is going to be super cool. So we're going to win that $100 Target gift card.
Yes.
That's huge. It's
coming to this house.
Oh, wait. So is the inside in play or that's just for you guys?
I think that's just for us, but we, you know, we're going to go outside. We want to do the whole thing. Yeah.
Great. Love it.
Yeah, I live up such a big hill that it doesn't get like a lot of action, you know, walking by. But I'm like, I don't care. I'm just going to go for it this year. I'll put up my sad little bowl of candies, even though. Yeah.
Really?
You know.
Are they going to let kids come around? You think?
No. I don't think so.
They already put the kibosh on that.
I'm going to miss that part because in this area, it's all stoops. And so when you come around and they give the candy off the stoops, this area is like cute. Like I basically live in like a slumlord apartment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And everything else is so beautiful. And they live in brownstones and they sit on their porch and they'll give you a glass of wine. Like here's a glass of wine and they'll give the kids. It's just so cute. I love it.
I love that.
Not this year.
I remember. Yeah. One year I wanted to go with my boyfriend around to like bring beer, like to like trade and see what they would. If they would give us beers or something or like invite us in. I'm gonna have to like try and do this in the future post quarantine, but that's a really cute idea. I like giving the parents a treat.
I hope my landlord never hears me call him a slumlord. He's the sweetest. I mean, I couldn't live here if he wasn't like not fixing it. I couldn't afford it if he fixed it. I hope he understands that this is a mutually like beneficial relationship.
Right, you're like,
I won't mention anything about this if you don't mention anything about this.
No, there is that kind of gentleman's agreement in a lot of apartments. Yeah. It's like we both know we're getting a good deal here, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Hot water is questionable, but also I can afford my bills. Great.
Yeah.
Does your landlord listen to all the podcasts you come on?
I just thought of it just now. I was like, I just hope he doesn't because I really love him. And, you know,
mm-hmm. I just hope he never hears this. It's great.
Yeah, that's why I did that.
I remember one time, but also I can, as a landlord, if you're a nice guy too, like I'm sure the last thing you want to be called is a slumlord. I remember one time my dad is a lawyer and I called him an ambulance chaser and he got so mad.
I know. So like, my mom's a cop and I was like, defund her. And she was like, bitch. She's retired. And I called her up and I said, no more you.
I'm defunding your mom.
I defunded my mom for a good 20 years. Yeah. Okay, Khalees, favorite beverage that isn't water?
Favorite beverage that isn't water? Because, I mean, that's easily an alcohol thing, but I'm having problems with that, so I'm going to let that go for now. I would say, I guess I'm just going to have to go with Jameson. Dang it.
I mean, look, it's the perfect whiskey. Isn't it? Delicious. I love it. Yeah,
I got to dump it out. It's all over my apartment.
Just got one right off camera.
A little taste.
Jameson's, it's like, it's so, once you get used to drinking whiskey and stuff, it is the best. And it's so sweet. It's like a very sweet whiskey.
It's sweet, but it's not like too sweet. Mm-hmm. Like it's sweet, but crisp. Because like whiskeys like Jim, like American whiskeys like Jim Beam and Jack Daniels, those to me are like too sweet.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, those
Jameson
are very
gives
like
me
sugary.
Happy cheeks. I'm like, it's like a Botox for cheeks. It's like, I'm like, guys,
I mean, whiskey makes me a freak, so my boyfriend knows to watch out.
That was one of the first, before Sean and I were dating, we were at like a birthday party at the Cat and Fiddle, and he offered to buy me a drink, and he's like, what do you want? And I was like, Jameson Rocks. And he looked at me like, what? Because that's what he drinks too.
Yes.
So
It's the best drink.
You don't need to add anything.
I'm mad at it right now. I'm mad at it. It's like, you know, the last time we were together was horrible. Right. I need some space. You need to give me some quarantine distance because you are not good for me.
Yeah, that's what's not fair is it can't take space from, like, we have to take the space. That's not fair. It should do the work too.
Yeah, Jameson should go check into a fucking Airbnb for a little bit.
Yeah.
You
take a weekend off.
Have you guys fucked with the Jameson cold brew yet?
What?
I heard of that. I did hear of that.
I did not know.
But I was
that
on the wagon at the time.
Mm. Yeah. I only know about it because my husband watches a lot of sports, so I see all the commercials for the new alcohols.
That sounds like a horrible idea, by the way.
I
Like, yeah, no, I'm not kidding.
Aren't they like not even allowed to put booze and caffeine together after
The Four Loko fiasco?
Four Loko?
I don't know. Jameson is going there. I don't know if it's actually caffeinated, but if it's not, it makes me want to get a cold brew and put whiskey in it because that's a great idea.
I mean, yeah, it's just a. I mean,
it's
I
a cold Irish coffee. Yeah, yeah,
Irish coffee. Yeah, 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 I'm down.
If you have a sensitive chemistry, though, that's putting you in overdrive. It's really risky.
Yeah,
that's really risky.
Yeah, that's a lot for the system.
It is. I will say one of my favorite things about myself is that, like, not in terms of the effects of the alcohol or the caffeine, but I have like such a strong stomach. Like, I can drink anything spicy, anything acidic, anything. So. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm on good ground there.
Oh, but yeah, yeah. I'm a trash can. Put it in there. Doesn't matter.
It's the first line to your autobiography. I'm a trash can. Put it in me.
I like the flux capacitor. I run better on garbage.
It's actually, yeah.
You want the 1.21 gigawatts?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I had a good one. What's the first amusement park you've been to?
First amusement park probably was like a Six Flags.
Mm-hmm.
And where did you grow up?
I'm from Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, okay. Land of Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. So cool. Probably Six Flags, just riding roller coaster rides. Yeah. I was like, I'm the kind of kid that would go up all the way to the top and then go, nah, and then just walk right back down the stairs. I didn't know it then, but I was probably having panic attacks at a young age and I just had no idea. I was just like, no, this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. You're all stupid. I'm out.
There's a lot of like coercion that goes into getting kids to go on scary rides. And I've done it with my nieces because I feel like to a certain extent it's good for you. But you're right. What if they are having a panic attack and you just need to respect that?
Yeah. And yeah. And now that you say that, I definitely have been in a water park where I've just been like, come on, Asha, you got to go. You got to go. And you're right. And I just didn't even consider that. Maybe it was just not time. We should go back to the baby pool for just another year or so.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know. I guess that's true. Yeah. Because I get this. I have this fear of heights. Have you ever like been at a balcony and then you look over the balcony and then there's this like feeling in your knees where you're like, it would be better if I was down there. I should jump. I need down. Yeah. I need down. It's like it's irrational fear that you're like down now.
Yeah. I want to be on the bottom.
My knees like vibrate.
No, I have that exact same thing. It hits my body. Yeah.
Yeah. That just happened to me. We were on a hike in Big Sur. And like, you know, sometimes when you're on a hike and there's like a creek and there's a log going over it that you could like use to cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought I was being like a daredevil. And like, I was like, I'm going to cross this log. And like 3 feet in, I was like, fuck no. Nope. Turn around. Get over here. And like, same thing. Like something just overcame me. And I was like, I'm going to purposely like fall off this log or something. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's that same like driving thing when you're like, I could just drive into this, you know, cliff or whatever, into this cliff.
Into this cliff.
Just you drive off into of this cliff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, especially in California, I like driving up those hills, like trying to get from one place to the other and they make you go through a mountain. I would be so pissed. I'd be like, please figure out a way for me to go around this mountain because the edge of the mountain is right by death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like my car and then there's like nothing. And you got to turn and there's nothing. There's not even a fence there. And just like the thought going through my mind is I could just go off this cliff. How aren't there more people just driving off cliffs?
I know those guardrails do not seem like big enough.
Just chances in it.
No. Yeah. There's a hill by where Babs lives that's so steep that when you drive up it, you can't see the top of it. I hate it.
It's a hell
so
of a thing.
Much.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah. They're so used to it, though. You guys are not from there, obviously, right?
Yeah. No, I'm from here.
There's a few that will still get you, though, out here.
It's just scary. In a stick shift, I'm like, woo! How are we going to do that?
I think it's because I have a stick shift, too, and it's like, I legitimately might go backwards right now. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm honestly impressed by people, how few accidents actually happen in a lot of those places, though. It's like everyone really, like, clicks into full focus in that moment.
Yeah. I will have to Google it now.
Yeah.
I will say that, like, driving around right now when there's so few cars in LA is worse because people, like, have I think people are driving like shit, like always.
Yeah.
But there's just more room for them to drive like shit. So they're driving faster and they're being like bigger assholes. Yeah. And I'm just like, fuck you. Like, stop. There's no buffer zone for all of us to like protect each other.
I like being stuck in traffic too for that same reason. I like everybody to be vigilant. There's nowhere you can go. Bumper to bumper.
You can't speed. You can't whatever.
You can't hurt me if there's all these cars surrounding me.
Right. I'm such a grandma driver. Like, I very rarely exceed the speed limit, and I feel like that should be my right. But I can't tell you guys how often I get tailgated, cut off, flipped off. It's like, there should be a separate road where you can just drive slow if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do too, just because my car sucks. But it's not like I'm going the speed limit. It's just people are fucking assholes.
Yeah.
I'm such a careful, nervous driver.
Me too.
People will drive up and honking and they're mad and they're through the window. I'm like, I know, right? What's happening?
Just like give them the thumbs up.
Yeah, good job.
I'm like,
good job.
I don't know how to do this more. And in LA, I'm so GPS. Like, I don't know where those turns are. Those highways, it's like a left turn off the highway, a right turn off the highway. It's like, it looks like a Dr. Seuss puzzle. It's like crazy. And I need to know 1,000 feet before where the turn's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be overwhelming if you're not used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to get through like several lanes of traffic in order to get over there. And,
panic attacks.
Yeah.
My boyfriend and I were long distance for a while, and he would visit me in LA. And we learned very quickly. I couldn't pick him up from the airport because we would have a whole bad trip because it would be like, because he would be so happy to see me. And I'd be like, and so from then on, he would Uber because then I would just be relaxed and hello. Instead of him being like, what's up, what's up, what's up? And I'm like, please let me just concentrate.
You're like, we're going to die.
I think one of the most realistic scenes like of any Los Angeles movie is the freeway scene in Clueless.
I love Brittany Murphy. Brittany Murphy is one of the only celebrities I've ever had like a breakdown over when she died. I had a huge breakdown.
So sad.
Dude, did you watch that like trashy documentary that came out a few months ago about her?
No.
Oh, you guys have to watch this documentary.
Oh, no.
Her mom is
kind of like not the best.
They kind of make a case that the mom might have had something to do with it.
Here's the thing, though. Oh. That's what I thought all along. And I hate this. I, you know, she's a real person. I hope she doesn't listen to it. I hope she's not my landlord. And like, as soon as it happened and then it happened to her boyfriend, I was like, her mom was a stage mom. Her mom was very controlling. Her mom was very like on top of all her stuff. And she comes back and she somehow dies of this weird metal poisoning. And then he dies too. And I'm like, man, what? It was so fishy.
It's definitely fishy. Yeah, really,
it's so fishy. And supposedly after Brittany died, the mom and the boyfriend were sharing a bed.
What?
Yep.
Whoa. So did she live with them before?
Yes.
Or she
already weird, right? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, grief does weird things to people, but I think it's weird to share a bed with your daughter's boyfriend, your husband.
Where, who gives that information?
I forget, but it was like someone legitimate it might have even been her. I think she might have like in an interview even said it was her, but she was like, oh, we would just comfort each other in bed. Yeah.
Not with your mother-in-law.
No, it's just fishy. Yeah, that case has not been properly investigated, and I know we have a lot of things to do as a country,
but Murphy.
Redemption for Brittany Murphy is one, I believe. Yeah,
I have also a cat named Murphy because of Brittany Murphy.
You do?
Aw,
that's awesome.
I love that.
I just feel like she really. You have four cats.
Yeah, I tried to get Murphy a friend, and it spiraled.
How is it going? Because like my cat is just such a like I'm the only cat, you know. So I want to get him friends, but I feel like he's too, you know.
Territorial. I think they need each other, even if they're being at each other's throats. They need that like communication, and I think it's better to start with a kitten because it's easier because the kitten is so loving. If you have an older cat, the kitten is. That's what's happened is I got a mature young cat, and they. He was too much. Like she wanted to be friends and he was too much. Then I got two little baby kittens and the baby kittens are just flopping all over him. And he's like, and it took a year before I saw the kitten licking him. And he was just like, oh, okay. It took forever. And the kittens united the whole group. It's really fascinating to watch the community come together as a group. And so I would say if you want a companion, start with a baby.
That's a good idea.
That's a good tip.
It makes sense, too, because then he'll know that he's the boss still and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Aww. I can't believe you get to have a whole cat community. You're so lucky.
We're all feral here, okay? None of us be indoors. We're all peeing in corners.
Let's do one more before we go to break. Khalees, what is a weird lie you've told?
Weird lie? A weird lie? A weird lie.
I know, that's a lot. It's a lot to ask. I've had to
catch myself in lies because I'm bad at a filter, so it's kinda like I'm accidentally to TMI. So a weird lie I've told about me.
I mean, about anything.
Weird lie I've told about myself.
I've got a good one if you want to think for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
So when I was like in elementary school, for some reason, like left and right, it was really hard for me to remember the difference. Like nobody gave me the like L thing. So I was being driven home from like a T-ball practice and I had to give this mom directions on how to get to the house. And I just kept guessing left or right. And I was right until, but I was panicking because I was lying my whole way home and it was working. And then there was one turn that I told her to go right. She should have gone left, but it was like into a cul-de-sac. And so we like drove slowly through this cul-de-sac and she was like, which one of these is your house? And I was like, oh, sometimes my mom just drives me through this cul-de-sac because I like these houses. And then we got to my house and I was like, I could never ride with that woman again. She knows.
I thought you were going to be like, it's that one. You just get out.
And then you just got out and walked home. Yeah.
If I'd been like a year older, I probably would have. But I was probably like 5 or 6. I was like really young. I remember being like, why are you asking me for directions? I don't know. But that was the day that I learned left from right. I was like, you got to figure that. You got to remember this. Apparently, this is important information that you've got to keep in your damn brain.
It's impressive that you got that far.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I was shocked too. I was like, oh, fuck, it's working.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I really don't know. I really don't know. I'm looking around for inspiration.
That's okay. That's good. I mean, yeah, I feel like any dumb ones I've told are, yeah, mostly from being a kid.
I have a lie to protect myself from losing the cats. I have like a lie in mind that I've built for myself.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Because
that's good.
I didn't mean to get 4 cats. I was going to try to foster 2 of them and then everybody fell in love. And then those, like I told you, the cats came together and I can't see ripping them apart at this point.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, oh, well, I was going to just say I'm fostering 2 of the cats for somebody who passed away. I don't know. I was just going to say that they're not mine. I was just going to say 2 of the cats.
Oh, yeah, that's a good plan. Right. I've got same situation with my landlord where, he thought I had 1, but I had 2. And I was just like, if anyone asks, I'm just going to be like, yeah, I'm just taking care of this one for now.
Yeah.
Foster, quote unquote, is a great soften. Definitely. Yeah,
absolutely.
What's that?
Fostering is a great soft in to get a pet. You know, it's just fostering.
Don't mind that their hair is literally in every inch of the house. Don't look at that. They've only been here for a short time and then we'll only.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll never see him.
Yeah, you can't tear them up at that point. If you fall in love with the cat, like that's it. They're there.
No, I'm moving in a couple of weeks and I told him, I said, I have cats and a dog. And he was like, I don't want to know about it. And I was like, please put it in the lease. He's like, I don't care. And I was like, okay. But I told him. Mm-hmm. So I felt like, cause I was so scared. I was so scared that there's so much insecurity right now, home insecurity, financial insecurity. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't move into this place. Cause I want to get her a 1-bedroom, you know, I want her to have a bedroom. I'm in a 1-bedroom. And I was so terrified we would get in there and then get evicted. So.
Right. Yeah, you can't be dealing with that. You need to know going in that they're okay with that.
Yeah. This landlord don't know.
Well, if he listens to this podcast.
If he listens to this. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, everybody. Bye. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm
and we're here with Khalees. She's here.
That was we're always putting laugh. Our guests in such an awkward position.
That's so
we're
sneaky. Like,
I'm here.
Oh, my Yuffie's going off. Hold on. Let me turn this.
Ooh.
Oh, the robot's under my bed. Fuck. Okay. That's fine.
Mother Ramba?
Oh, no. You can't get him out. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. He'll come back over. The animals in my house, I have a dog and a cat in here, and they both, they hate him. So he's a third pet. He's like our problematic child.
Is it a vacuum?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a little, okay. it's like an off-brand Roomba. It's called a Yuffie, and I put googly eyes on him. So now when he runs into a wall, it looks like he got shell shocked. He's like, it's pretty fun. Oh yeah.
Let's do lady problems. This is where we answer advice to listeners who've written in. If you have something you'd like to ask us, you can write to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems.
Hi, ladies. Thank you for keeping the podcast going during quarantine. I've appreciated the balance of laughs with acknowledgement of the sad state of the world right now. I've been working this whole time. It's been scary at times, so having a new episode to brighten my Wednesdays has been so welcome and appreciated. I wanted to give you a little update before my current lady problem. I wrote in maybe 2 years ago about becoming a lady carpenter and was intimidated to join a new company due to working with men. I'm happy to share that since then, I am now 28 and I've become a welder and was just initiated into my local plumber and pipefitters union as an apprentice. I'm so happy with what I do. Men can still suck to work with, but I am the first woman to ever work in the fabrication shop I am working at.
Hell
well, that's
yeah.
fucking awesome.
That's
wow.
really
Congrats.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
On to my problem. I have a lovely boyfriend who I adore. We're really into each other and see ourselves being together a while. Here's the problem. Before we met, he bought a 3-story building with 5 different apartment units in it. It was his dream to have a communal living house where he would rent out units to his friends and everyone would coexist happily / a community would occur. We've only been dating a year, but I've regularly been a part of his life / this house for 2. He has one tenant in particular that I have so much anxiety around, to the extent that I dread running into them and feel regularly upset by the fact that I have to continue to have this person in my life. I plan on moving in with my boyfriend within the next couple of months, and I'm really excited for this next step in our relationship, but good God, I cannot get over this tenant and the effect that this person seems to have on my mental health. Since the moment I met them, I never really felt calm around them. Initially, I thought that I was just jealous of them because my boyfriend and they were friends and this person seemed characteristic and funny. Also, they use they/them pronouns. As time has passed, I feel way more secure in my relationship, I realize this isn't jealousy at all. Rather, this person is just not good for me to be around, and I feel triggered by their demeanor / personality. I went out of my way to befriend them, thinking that this would help my anxiety, and we have had periods where we were really close, but then suddenly that stops out of nowhere, and I feel ghosted / shut out of their life. I got dragged into some drama by them during quarantine. I just wish I could have them out of my life. I normally just remove the things that cause me anxiety, but I don't have a choice with them. I'm ashamed to admit this, but I've cried so many times over interactions with this person. What can I do? My boyfriend knows that I have some sort of conflict with this person and respects my needs to limit interactions with them, but he doesn't know the full extent of it and how seriously they affect my mental health. How can I make this any easier on me? Do I just avoid them forever? I have tried talking to them about it, and although some sort of resolution is reached, I still don't feel at peace. Also, is it an insane ask to ask my boyfriend to ask them to move? I never planned on doing that anyway, so I'd have to just get used to it. I'm not sure what that last sentence means. Sorry.
Yeah.
But okay. Anyway, so this, yeah, I mean, this is tough.
That's really tough. That's really, really tough.
Yeah.
Because they were there first before she moved in. And I mean, there's no details about why the discomfort is there. It can't just be a gut feeling. I would imagine there has to be more than just
behavior.
A gut feeling.
Yeah. It's and like this, something has happened.
This mysterious drama thing that happened was probably very traumatic. So the boyfriend's the landlord?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. He owns the house. Mm-hmm. It has 5 different apartment units in it. So, or he owns a 3-story building, I should say, with 5 different apartments. So it looks like they occupy one of the apartments.
Yeah. And they must be friends too. I would assume the boyfriend and this person are friends.
They
as
are.
Well,
they said
like.
They yeah. are. Yeah.
And they thought at first they were jealous. So this person has gone through all, she's gone through all of these stages of trying to put the blame on herself. She's already gone through that. Mm-hmm. And she seems a very, like, to be a very, like, you know, she's trying. She's putting in a lot of effort to make it work.
Yeah.
And she has this gut feeling that this person is giving her all this anxiety and bad for her mental health. So when she says that, though, like, how old is this person? Because when people say,
the person who wrote in is 28.
Right. So 28, that's young to me. And mm-hmm. I go, when you say somebody else is bad for my mental health, I don't know when a 28-year-old says that, if that's like, that's that new thing that you get to have when you're younger, where somebody else is bad for you versus you got to deal with it, or if it's serious danger. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can't tell sometimes, because I get that. Like, if you just don't feel comfortable or safe around somebody, you need to be away from them. That is so hard.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like regardless. Okay. First of all, I think she definitely needs to tell the boyfriend the full extent of this. Like, for sure. Like, he's your boyfriend. You're going to have communication issues if he doesn't really understand what's going on. So I think you have to do that. Yeah. I also think, like, when you have some bullshit in your living situation, that permeates every aspect of your life.
Yes.
It is a cancer in your life. So I almost think this is, and I think, you know, Khalees is right. Like, that person was there first. I'm almost like, I feel like you should maybe consider not moving there for now.
Yes. Good. That's the one. She hasn't moved there yet. I missed that.
Right. Yeah.
She can't move there.
Yeah.
She just can't move there.
Yeah.
So if he owns this complex, he can move somewhere else with her and he can do this remotely.
That's true. That is true. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah.
You can't be there. I definitely I didn't have a situation with a person, but I had a situation when I was in Hollywood with the building management, where it was just not one person. It was just an aggressive, useless management company that was just so hostile every time I needed something, that I was so upset and miserable all the time. Like, I remember it rained and there was a hole in my thing from them cutting it out, and they just left it like that for months. And then there was mold in the bathroom, and then they had the HVAC with it coming out, and it was forever, and they just didn't care. And it was so hostile. It was such a hostile environment that she cannot move in there. I mean, obviously she's going to make her own decision, but yes, you're right. She can't move in there, and he needs to move with her to somewhere else where she feels.
Yeah.
Cause you're not going to be able to avoid this person.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like this is just one of those, like, oil and water people where you just can't be around each other and it's just too toxic to deal with. So I think, like Tess said, number one, tell him the full extent of what's going on. And then just, it sucks. I mean, obviously you want to be able to live with your boyfriend. It's hard for him too, because he wants this community thing with all of his friends. So he's not going to want to move anywhere else, I don't think.
Oh, right. I forgot about the community aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not looking to just own it as like a, you know, someone who owns it. He wants to be a part of this place with other people.
Yeah, but that's what moving in with your significant other is. I mean, I lived in a fucking badass hippie commune in the Hollywood Hills before I moved in with Sean. I had to give that up when I shacked up with him. He had to give up a place with a pool. I mean...
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. And he can always visit.
Exactly. Yeah. He can go as a friend. I mean, if these are his friends, he can go without you, like, nights he wants to hang out with this person when you guys are having separate time. I think there's ways for him to continue to be a part of this community if that's what he wants. But
it's his building, right? And it was his dream to have this complex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So weird.
But you guys don't think that there's anything to him asking the person to move out? I mean, I know that's really aggressive and I wouldn't want to put that on somebody.
The reason why I would say no to that is because I know I have been mischaracterized before and I haven't met this person that she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And so if for some reason the effect that person's having on her is just an internal thing that she can't deal with, I wouldn't want to just say to her, get that person kicked out, when I don't know why they're triggering.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's if there's a safety issue or if there's just a unresolved issue in you. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there could be some unresolved issues within her. And I'm not going to say that's, but I couldn't just give you the advice to get somebody kicked out when I don't know who they are.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Whereas it's I think if the boyfriend knows that this person is the issue, then at least they will know to like not encourage them to stay. Like at least on a friend level, like maybe that's going to, you know, there's going
to
be.
Or to, I think, yeah, keep an eye out for those issues. And if it's something that, yeah, makes it, it makes them an issue to live there. I mean, it doesn't sound like it because they've lived there for a while and it's been okay. So
that person hasn't been an issue for anybody else in the complex. Mm-hmm. So that's like, you know, that's the, this or that side, you know?
Thing. Yeah. But yeah, you don't go there. Don't go there. It's not worth it. It's going to, I think it'd be bad for your relationship and your own. You're already acknowledging that it's affecting your mental health. So like,
yeah,
I think that's a no go for you.
And all your reality is within. All your reality is inside of your own mind. And if in your reality, you don't feel safe, you're never going to feel safe. That's not going to change.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You definitely can't be around, obviously, around this person. I mean, I can't imagine living in the same complex with them, worried you're going to run into them in the hallway every day. Like, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No. And maybe it's not time to move in with your boyfriend yet. I mean, if you're able to financially keep your own place, maybe he just comes and stays at your house a lot. You know, I mean, you guys have been together for a year. That's not necessarily like an urgent time to move in together.
It's only if a year. I don't have all these details. Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. It's a little you're premature.
Yeah. 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 I think at a year, especially if you're like kind of whatever about the living situation.
I mean, I like into things myself, so I get it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I would also like, I mean, maybe you're just trying to keep details. So this is like, you know, you kept the email vague just for longevity or something. But like, if you don't have like, if you can't to yourself say what those specific things are, like you need to figure out on your end, like, what is it exactly? What is it that they're saying? What is it about the tone? What is it about the way they're being treated? It can't just be like, if you're going to like have this conversation, because also it will help you be able to communicate with your boyfriend, like what is going on. If you were like, these are specific examples. These are specific things that really bother me about this.
Yeah, I think so. So you can bring that to him without, you know, it being too vague or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I don't think you can ask them to move out at all, right? I mean, especially.
No, I mean.
Oh, right. And it's a pandemic. Yeah, and this especially is
a pandemic.
It's a pandemic. Yeah. And, you know, like.
Mm-mm. That's not. Also, like, as a landlord, that like literally might be illegal. Like, I don't really know, but it feels like.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And they're non-binary and like, you know, just in a group of people that could be, you know, who knows if they would have a hard time finding other housing or something like that.
But also, so, they're in a place that they're safe in.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah,
exactly. They feel safe.
You know, they're in their own community of friends. That is, I would say the ownership is theirs. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say, like, you don't get to be safe. I just go, and when you weigh it out, you know, let the person who feels safe there have the safety there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there might be some legal issues, too. I mean, you can't really just evict someone because without cause.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And for good reason. And thankfully, that is the case.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in my head, if it was down to that, I would be like talking to them about
that's
it. But
true.
Obviously,
that's
they're
true.
Not going to want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to want to up and leave.
I mean, I also kind of feel like dating for a year, even asking that is like, that would feel like a red flag to me if I was like the boyfriend and they were like, I'm asking for this major change in like your friend group. And we've been dating for like a year. That to me would like kind of give me pause, I think, to be like, you want me to lose a friend that I've known for much longer than I've known you.
You know what I mean? Very good point.
Yeah, like that would, you know, which doesn't mean that you can't have the conversation that's like, look, I, you know, these are all the reasons that I feel unsafe and I can't be around this person. And, you know, maybe figure out, like, you know, what is the way to avoid that? But like asking, like, you know, you, for all the reasons we said, you can't ask him to kick
I mean,
out.
She says in it, like, I don't plan on asking him to do that. It's kind of, it would a last resort.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
All of that said, if again, without having the details, if you are in a situation where this person is making you feel unsafe, then I'm going to completely reverse my position and be like, get this guy the fuck out of there. Get this person the fuck out of there. You know, like if this person is making you, if they're legitimately threatening your safety, fuck them. fuck them. So I think it's important to define like what's going on.
But she said anxiety though. She said like it was mostly feelings. It didn't sound like it was like.
It doesn't sound like it was unsafe because it's like, you see me.
An incident. She said drama. It was anxiety, drama.
It sounds like it's just they're just really not two people
who get along.
Want to be around each other or get along. It sounds like that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, it sounds like a huge pain in the ass thing to deal with. So it's really tough. But yeah, don't put yourself into that situation more by having to see them all the time.
Oh my God.
And I'll say this, make sure that you and your boyfriend, your time is not just always hanging out at the apartment complex. Like make sure you guys are going out and doing stuff. Like you're not I say that in the world we live in. But I mean, I don't know, going to parks and stuff.
There's a way to be creative about it.
Yes. Yeah. Don't just hang out just in his apartment where this person could pop in or like it's a part. Like your relationship still needs to be just the two of you in your relationship. And your relationship does not involve anybody outside of that relationship unless it's like a night that you're hanging out with friends too. Mm-hmm. And just make sure like those boundaries are very strong. And that might maybe give you like make you feel like even more secure in whatever is going on and might lessen some of these issues too, maybe.
Yeah. Good luck. I mean, and also fucking congrats on everything going on with your career. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. You're so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool. Yeah. Let us know how it goes.
First woman to ever work in the fabrication shop she's working at.
That's like, so cool.
So cool.
Yeah. That's amazing. Congrats. And yeah, let us know how it goes. And we appreciate, you writing in.
Yeah.
And Khalees, where can everybody find you on the internet? Where can they buy your album?
It's Khalees Hawkins. It's 40AF. And that's on all the platforms that you listen to music on or that listen to anything on that you listen on podcasts on, I guess. I don't really know.
Go buy it. It's a beautiful, I love the cover. It's very, really cool.
Gorgeous.
Cover.
Thank you. I just wanted to show how sloppy and how unsure I am and how
real it's real, baby.
Yeah, it's working for you.
If you're a Patreon member, we'll be over at the Top Secret Session. If you want to learn more about that, go to patreon.com/ladytolady. And also we'll see you on our Zoom show on the 4th. If you haven't bought tickets, go grab those right now. And we're gonna go do that with Khalees. Okay. Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as $1 a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at ladytoladycomedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.